Hello and welcome to the Osterman Research Podcast. My name is Michael Osterman. I'm the principal analyst with Osterman Research. I'm here today with Robert Fleming from Black Square Technologies. Robert, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Mike.
It's a pleasure to have you here. So we're going to be discussing the Internet of Things, or IoT. And essentially, IoT is that whole set of technologies and practices to allow things, from Fitbits and Google Home devices to corporate systems like asset trackers and badge readers, to communicate via the Internet. The goal is to enable the tracking, automation, and understanding of things, quote unquote, so that decision makers can gather more information, make better decisions, and control systems and platforms more easily, with more granularity, and at much lower cost. The problem is that IoT introduces a new and difficult problem for virtually every organization. Really, it's a several order of magnitude increase in the things that are connected to the internet, and it creates a several order of magnitude increase in the way that security vulnerabilities can be exploited by cyber criminals. Moreover, a lot of IoT devices really were not designed with security in mind, and this is primarily on the consumer side. And so it forces the consumer, that is the businesses that deploy them, to bear the primary burden of IoT security. And so a failure to properly protect against the rapidly growing number of IoT-related threats makes organizations really quite susceptible to a wide variety of problems. Those include distributed denial of service attacks, malware, ransomware infiltration, data breaches, hacks, business email compromise, really in a host of other problems. And what we've seen over the past few months makes IoT a much more serious issue for security decision makers. That's because the tens of millions of employees who are now working from home and will be for quite some time are accessing things like sensitive corporate data, they're checking their corporate email, they're accessing the corporate CRM system and so forth on the same home network that enables their home automation systems, their baby monitors, security cameras, televisions, gaming consoles, basically a lot of different types of things in the home. They were doing that before when occasionally working from home, but now they're doing that full time. And so that means that not only is security impacted, but compliance is as well. Organizations are going to have much greater difficulty complying with their privacy obligations under the GDPR, the California Consumer Privacy Act, and really the growing number of other privacy regulations out there. And so before we had government-imposed lockdowns, we had a pretty serious issue with IoT from a security perspective. Today, we've made the problem dramatically worse, really much faster than most of us had anticipated. So Robert, I'd like to get your take on IoT. Where do you see IoT today? Where do you see IoT security? And where do you see it going?
So great question, Mike. The security aspect is challenging from a number of perspectives as you've laid out. Certificates of authority are sometimes expired, which create an opportunity for a man-in-the-middle attack. The connection between the home network and the office or business network is a challenge because of those things you've mentioned before, including the web camera. So the next step would be to try and understand how we can connect all of the business organization elements securely so that someone who's working from home can use that tool. And we've learned over time that security should be treated as a primary planning concern. Yet today, security is still treated as a bolt-on at the end of a project. It's vital that the security solutions involve and support the entire ecosystem from the planning stage. So it should be obvious, but perhaps not to everyone, that all important data should be encrypted. And given that we live in the world or the golden age of hackers, as I think of it today, and bad actors getting access to important data, it's best to presume that someone is trying to or has already accessed your network, including your IoT. So if these assumptions are planned at the outset, that you think someone is going to or has already accessed your systems, you're on a better track.
Mm-hmm. Certainly makes sense. You mentioned expired certificates or missing certificates. How do we deal with the problem of these problem certificates for IoT devices, given that doing so would require updating firmware on IoT devices? In many cases, that's just not possible.
Right. So now you got to find some type of a software update coming from the manufacturer, which creates that potential man in the middle attack. I might represent that product to you saying, hey, I'm really Mitsubishi, but I'm not. So I want you to install this information, which allows me to say I am here as a loc within your system. So it's a big challenge. It really is.
If you're an IT manager, a security manager, what have you, who do you look to for this kind of thing? Not necessarily companies, but do you look for traditional security vendors? Do you look for sort of new entrants to the space that are focusing specifically on IoT?
Great question. I think a lot of that has to do, Mike, with the budget you have to work with. If you're a smaller organization and you don't have the hundreds of thousands or more dollars it's going to require to really dig into the system, you may be just bolting something on, and you may be avoiding or not recognizing the problem as it was. So the attacker may have developed a number of attack vectors and strategies, while you've only found one or two that you want to try and plug the hole for, whereas the attacker may have 10 or 20 planned attacks. So it's a, like to your point, it's a big challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. Also, to what extent do you think IoT implementations and integrations have been successful or unsuccessful, and why is that the case?
So I remember a report that came on an organizational IoT adoption study from Cisco back about 4 years ago. And the conclusion of the report suggested that about 60% of IoT projects were successful, while approximately 40% were not fully successful. So the question is, why the high failure rate? And the answer that Cisco provided was that you need alignment in the boardroom of what the value proposition is going to be when you're done, and an understanding that this is going to be a long-term process. So the walk away was think big, start small, and improve over time. So it's a longer term process.
How do you get that boardroom buy-in?
Great question. We've all seen cartoons about the network security person being invited to sit at the big boys table, and there probably are two different alternatives. One, the board doesn't really have a firm understanding of what network security looks like or is. And the second is that the network security folks really want to involve themselves and become involved in the planning and the organization and the administration and the structure of those security protocols. So I think both are good, actually.
Very good. So one of the real issues that organizations are facing today, as we hear a lot, is work from home. And, there are polls out there showing that employees are going to continue working from home for many months, if not many years. And this represents a fairly significant paradigm shift in the way that work is performed by information workers. So, with corporate decision makers implementing IoT devices throughout the corporate network, with individuals deploying IoT in their home networks, how does an organization really enable work from home securely in an employee environment that may be full of lots of insecure IoT devices?
Wow. Years and years ago, we'd call that the $64,000 question. Which it is, it's a $64 billion question today, and rightly so. Using my home network, which might involve a connection from my internet provider, it might involve an integrated router firewall, it might involve a modem, and a lot of these things that I'm mentioning, these edge points are out of the control of the organization. So to me, it's a big challenge. I'm not quite sure how the large organizations are planning on working through these are workarounds. I'm sure that there's possible workaround, but I don't know what that workaround would look like. It's got to come from network security. It's got to be internal. There's got to be a way that they can provide us a secure VPN and not just a commercial VPN, which isn't secure. There's got to be a way to work within our modem. Maybe they'll provide us some recommendations on how to get into the modem or get into the router and change passwords and move from most passwords come with the default phrase of admin and password. You've got to change those things to secure your own network, much less the corporation's network. And then once again, it's important to have a list of security tips. Change your passwords frequently, all of them, not just your personal passwords, but your organization's passwords, the ones that you're responsible for. When you're not in front of your computer, turn the computer off after you've disconnected the Wi-Fi. Most of us use Wi-Fi, right? So the corporation might say, if you have Ethernet capability at home, let's buy the cables and get you connected to Ethernet. So I can see a number of tips that would fall downstream from this discussion that would be very helpful for the user at home, because we get complacent. We forget to change passwords. The average user, we've talked about this before, changes passwords once every 6 years. That's not good enough today. We've got to be better at that, because we know that the attackers are far better at their attack strategy than we are at our defense strategy.
Yeah, very much so. You mentioned encryption earlier. Where does encryption fall on the list of priorities, or where should it fall on the list of priorities for decision makers?
So I believe that any important or sensitive or critical data should be encrypted. Whether it's data at rest or data in motion, it should be encrypted. And we know that there are a number of challenges in that arena. A lot of people don't like three or four syllable words, encryption. So they're not just real comfortable using the tool. We know that some forms of software encryption are indeed vulnerable to an attack. They've already been attacked. Hence, that requires updates and patches. But if I want to guard important data and I know that there is a bad actor in my network, my only alternative, my only benefit really is to encrypt that data as I've completed the data, so that if that attacker were to be able to steal my encrypted data, what's his probability of ever decrypting it? And in the world of encryption, encryption is really all about time. Mathematically, at some point in time, you'll find a way to break the encryption structure. That's why we're moving along. We're moving into elliptical curve and so on in quantum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it certainly makes sense.
Yeah, encryption is extremely important, because if it's your data at home and you don't want someone else to gain access to it, you have two options. You can either encrypt it, or you can hope and pray that no one finds it. Likewise, in an organizational environment, your IT department or your product planning department or your engineering department might say, this is valuable stuff. This is our intellectual property. These are our engineering designs. We want to make sure that if they were to fall into the wrong hands, no one could decrypt the information.
Mm-hmm.
And more, we're seeing larger scale attacks. Recently, we heard about a large attack, 76 gigabytes, I believe it was, from a large celebrity-based law firm in New York City. And if I remember right, the attackers initially put out a ransom note of $21 million. Then apparently, after digging through the data that they'd stolen, they raised the ransom price to $42 million. So the question now becomes, how easy is it for, what's the strategy for an attacker? Is it the business email compromise, as you mentioned early on? Is it the phishing attack? Is it breaking into the network somehow through an edge or an IoT device and crawling your way into the middle of the sandbox? And all those things are possible. So if we can find a way to help strengthen our security, change our passwords, use better tools, and encrypt that important data, I think we'd be a lot better off early as opposed to late.
Yeah, very good point. Well, excellent. Robert, thank you so much for being on the call with us today. You had some great insights, and I really appreciate your taking the time to share them with us.
Mike, it's always a pleasure. Thanks.
That concludes today's podcast. We look forward to seeing you next time. Thank you so much.